Okay, so we're picking up now. We're on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we're up to, we just finished V'teisi Mehana Chachanami, meaning that right now where the Gemara is at is if you have Gittin and you have Kachim and you know that Shlucho Shel Adam Kamosa works in both cases, that Shlichus works in both cases, from there you'll be able to extrapolate to Kol HaTorah Kula. Because any objection will be cancelled out by the other case. And the Tzad HaShaveh will then be the fact that Shlucho Shel Adam Kamosa. It makes no difference what the area is. So once that's correct, so now the Gemara has a basic question. Ve'ela atem gam atem lamali. In other words, now you can't say that the Torah wrote gam atem to include shlichus. So the question is, why did the Torah have the superfluous word of gam atem? It should have said just atem. So the Gemara says, Meboyele, l'chid Rebbe Yanai, Dama Rebbe Yanai, gam atem, ma atem b'nei bris, af shluchachem b'nei bris. So, what does that mean? The Rashi, L'chid Rebbe Yanai, D'boy L'akushe, L'hachi Kasav Gam L'ribuye Shliach, Mishum D'boy L'akushe Meshalcho, L'meimar D'ba'ovi Kochavim Puzzle. In other words, Gam Atem is a miyut within the system of Shlichas. It's still an idea, Gam Atem is still in the parasha of Shlichas, but it's gamatem to be memayet a guy. Okay? To be memayet a guy. So the Gemara is not so happy with that. Halam alikra? Halam alikra? Mid Rabbi Chiya Barab and Rabbi Yochanan Nafka. Damar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Eved Nasa Shliach LeKabel Get Miad Bayla Shalisha Lefi She'ena B'Torah's Gittin V'Kiddushin. So, just a question of pshat. When the Gemara says Halam Eli Kra, you can learn it out for Rabbi Chiya. So what does that mean? You can learn it out for Rabbi Chiya. What do you mean? How can you say you can learn it for Rabbi Chiya? That's why you don't have a pasuk. Right. In other words, what the Gemara means is it's completely logical. In other words, if anyone constructing the idea of shlichus would really basically agree with this idea, it's a svar. It's naturally intuitive. And what is his idea? That an Eved Kanani cannot become a shliach for a woman to accept her get from her husband. Why? Lefi she'ena b'Torah's gittin v'kiddushin. Because he's simply not part of the framework. In other words, a person who cannot do that maisa, nor can be, is related to that chalos. He can't be a participant in producing such a maiso or such a chalos. It doesn't make sense that he could be an agent, a shliach, to do that on behalf of somebody else. He's not part of that world. His maiso is not a maiso in that world. His chalos is not a chalos in that world. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that he could be a shliach. By the way, there's a Tosfos in Gittin. I think it's on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis in Gittin. But Tosfos, just a cute thing, I'll just mention it. The Tosfos mentions there that they have a case where a guy gives a get to the Eved of an Isha. So Tosfos says there it's me Shmitam Chatzar. There it's the din that you could put a get in the Chatzera Shalisha, her Eved is also defined as Chatzar. So that's where you're using the Eved not as a Gavra. There the Eved is like a Chefza. He has a din Chatzar. So that's of course a different thing. Here we're talking about the Eved being appointed a shliach, a power of attorney, where he's a real gavra, to makes decisions, does actions, etc. Okay, there he's a passive chefta of a chater. Okay, very good. So now the Gemara goes further. So why do you need the pasuk? It's a logical thing. Salka daita chamina eved delav bar heterahu klal. Aval oved kochavim hoel ve'ise betruma denafshe. So I would say no. By an eved, I hear. Because he's lav bar hateri. He's not part of that parsha at all. But an oved kochavim, he is part of the parsha of truma. By truma denafshe. Disnan, because we learned in a mishnah, ha'oved kochavim v'hakusi. Shetarmu trumasan truma. Ema shliach nami avid. Kamash malan. So the Gemara says, quotes the Mishnah, that if a guy is mafresh truma, it's truma. It's absolutely truma. Okay, Rashi. Shetarmo eshelahen trumasan truma le oser lezarim, meaning the maisa hafrashas truma of a guy creates a chalos of truma in the object, and therefore it's oser lezarim. It's only mutter lekahanim, and of course only mutter. You know, you have to be in a state of tahara. The truma has to be patara. Okay, the kasavar ain't kinyin lova kachavim be'eretz Yisrael lafkia. There's no kinyin to a guy in Eretz Yisrael to remove the status of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis mitzvos, kedushas truma, maisros, bikurim. Okay, ume ruach over kachavim eino poter min atruma, and the meruach of a guy is not a poter. Meruach is the last that stage that readies the produce. It's the smoothing over where you make the piles and you smooth them over. So meruach is always considered the moment when then it really stops being like an agricultural item and becomes a commercial or a human item. It enters into the world of the Adam. I don't want to say too much. That's a whole study exactly defining Meruach. But that's a good way to think of it. Okay? But what's important is that at the moment of Meruach, that's when the Chiyuv Truma takes place. That's the important fact. That Meruach creates, that's when there's a Chiyuv to be mafresh truma. Until that moment, there's no chiyuv. Okay? Umei ruach ove kochavim eino poter min atruma. And the meruach, interesting how Rashi puts that, that the meruach is not a poter. It doesn't remove, it doesn't exempt this produce from dinei truma. From Chiyuvei Truma. Uve menachas yalaf lataima midegancha degancha trei zimni. Because in the parasha it says degancha twice. Limute digunovik achavim, to exclude the digunovik achavim. Ve'ein mir achar mir el larabos. And since it's a mir achar mir, it always comes larabos. So therefore, the digun of a guy, the meruach of a guy, is in fact chayef. Okay, we can discuss the idea of ein mir achar mir el larabos. There's actually a couple explanations for it, and some just say it's a, that's it. It's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, and you shouldn't bother trying to figure out how it works. All right, we'll leave that for the side. We can do that later. But the bottom line of this Rashi is that if a guy is mafresh truma, it's truma. His meruach creates the mechayev, and if the guy should happen to do it, it would be considered a truma. Okay. All right, I'll come back there in 1 second. Let's just get what the Gemara. I just wanted to finish off just one point about the Gemara. So what's the Gemara saying? What's Atem Gam Atem coming to tell you now? There's originally thought, the Gemara thought, Atem Gam Atem was coming to exclude a guy. Now, but the Gemara said, no, you wouldn't need that because he's not part of the Parsha, so of course you don't need a Pasuk for that. But now the Gemara, right? So that has that logic. But now the Gemara is saying what? That really is part of the Parsha. And Atem Gam Atem is telling you, nevertheless, even though he's part of the Parsha, he can't do it. So what do you see the Torah is doing? So there's only one possibility. That the Torah is saying that it's a categorical exclusion of shlichus by a guy. It's a categorical exclusion. I mean, you could say what svaras you want, and maybe attempted to say svaras. And I'm not stopping you from saying svaras. But the bottom line is, that's the gzeiras hakasuv. That it's a categorical, it's an exclusion of the gavra of the guy from the institution of shlichus. It makes no difference whether it's the isei b'dinafshei or not. He's simply excluded from the parsha of shlichus by in the Torah. I mean, I think we could start formulating reasons. But I think at the end of the day, I think the smoothest way to say it halachically is just simply to stick to the nature of the thing. It's simply an exclusion of the gavra of the guy. That's it. Okay. So we're going back to the Mishnah there. In other words, that the Gemara quoted. So the Gemara continues. In other words, after that, now we've explained Atem Gam Atem, we've explained. You need it because it's a separate exclusion of a guy. Yeah. But now the Gemara says, Ula Reb Shimon de Potar. But what are you going to say according to Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon's Potar. Disnan Trumas Ovid Kochavim Midamas V'chayovin Alea Chomesh V'Reb Shimon Potar Atem Gam Atem Lamali. Okay, So what is Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon in the same perek there in Trumas. What does he say? So the Gemara gives a case where you have Trumas over Kochavim. There's the guy who was Mafresh Truma. and then it fell into a chulin, which in the area of truma, that's called its midamas. Okay, dimua. So the halacha is by midamas, that by truma, the halacha is not shishim, but it's halacha of mea. You need mea. Different ratio. So, and if it's midamas, in other words, you don't have mea against one, so then obviously only a kohen could eat it. It would be asa to a zar. But if it's 100 to 1, then it's mutter to a zar, it's bottle. So the Mishnah there said that truma sav gacham is namas, and if you ate it, you chayav and alav chomesh, like the regular din truma. Okay, for Reb Shimon, poter. But Reb Shimon says it's poter. Okay, so why does Reb Shimon say it's not midamas? And you poter, there's no problem. If you eat it b'shogeg, you're not chayav and chomesh, etc. Why? So here, look at Rashi. Reb Shimon, poter, dikasavar, ein me ruach ha'ovid kochavim, chayav b'truma. Because he holds the meruach of a guy is not chayev in truma. V'yalef la midegancha, and he learns out exactly from that pasuk, degancha, your dagan, v'lo dagan nachri. You see, midegancha, v'lo, I shouldn't say dagan, it should be digon, because it's talking about the meruach, the maisa, the meruach. Okay, it's midegancha, v'lo digon over kachavim, bibinachas. Uladidei leka mirachamiyot dematzrich luhutzrichi. Yeah, he happens to need the other degancha for something else, so he doesn't have mirachamiyot el larabos. Now he doesn't disagree with that principle. That's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and that's one of the midos shatar in the drushes man. But he just holds that he has another purpose for the degancha. Okay, so bottom line, according to Rashi, let's go back to the first Rashi. What, I want to know what the machlokas is. Let's pinpoint the machlokas between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon. So according to the Tanakam, let's do it again. For that Rashi, Trumas and Truma, Le'aser Lezarim, Dekasavar Ein Kinyin Lo V'Kachavim Beretz Yisrael Lafgia, and it should be Midei Meiser. Okay, it doesn't remove the crops from the mitzvos. U'Meiruach O'V'Kachavim Eino Poter Min Atruma. Now, what does he say by Reb Shimon? The kasaver ain meiruach ha'ovik ochavim chayev betruma. Okay? So, pashtus in Rashi is that you have two factors going on here. You have the question of the status of the peiros themselves, and that's the question of ein kinyan lenachri lahafkia. Meaning, if a guy purchases karka in Eretz Yisrael, it has no effect insofar as mitzvos atluyos baretz. The status of Eretz Yisrael and the peiros are unchanged. So that's one factor. So the kinyan of a guy has no effect on that. He bought kark in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So a guy owns kark in Eretz Yisrael. But whatever it produces is peros Eretz Yisrael and is chayiv in the mitzvos haaretz. Then, and it seems according to Rashi, when it comes to that factor, there's no machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Tanakama. Everyone agrees with that part. But where is the machlokas? In stage two, meruach. Because the status of Eretz Yisrael and Peros Seha is insofar as the status, the intrinsic status of the produce. But the produce has yet to come into a situation that's just like an intrinsic nature of it. It's like a potential. But now it requires meruach, or whatever you want to call it, meruach, gemar malachta, however you want to call it, where then the chiyuve trumos and maestros kicks in. So that's where it seems there is a machlokas. Reb Shimon says that if a guy does the meruach, it's not chayev and truma. And the Tanakhama says, although he puts it in a funny way, I mean Rashi does, umeruach ovekachovim eino poter min atruma. It's not a poter. And Reb Shimon holds it's not a chayev. Doesn't create a chiyuv. And that's it. According to Reb Shimon, once the guy does the meruach, that's it. Those peros can never be chayev, it seems, in Hilchas Truma. They can never have a status of Truma. Okay. So I guess the question is, how do we define this machlokas? Is it the meruach guy is not chayev? Or do you say, no, the meruach is eino poter? What's the machlokas? Yeah, Rashi should have said by the Tanakhama, umeruach ovekachavim chayev betruma. Then it would have been the matching bookend to the other Rashi, the two contrasting views, chayev and not chayev. Yeah, obviously we're asking for the conceptualization of it, because, right, Reb Shimon learns out from Dagan Chavlo Dagan Nachri, and he says Dagan twice Elala Rabbas. So that's true. That's of course the Chachmas Akasev. But we're asking, what is the idea? The formulation that the Chachmas HaKasav is informing you of. I just want to clarify that. It's your approach, David, is like this. You're saying, like, did the Torah give Meruach the status of a Maisa? Like, it has a separate Din Maisa. Or no?
Right.
Meruach is not a din maisa. It's just part of a process of bringing a process of a farming. You plant, you seed, it grows the fruit, you harvest it. You thresh it, you do this, you do that, and then eventually it's just part of a process. It's not a really, it's just putting the produce in a certain condition. That's what it is. It's not really a maisa. That's your approach. So if it's a maisa, the Torah could exclude a guy. But if it's simply a certain condition, and since the produce is the produce of Eretz Yisrael, whenever that produce of Eretz Yisrael finds itself in that condition, that's when it becomes chayev. But the condition is a condition. So who cares who puts it in the condition? Reb Shimon, right? Reb Shimon is they gave it. It has a din ma'isa, so it's ma'isa. Oh, so it's digoncha. I'm digoncha, digoncha. Velo diganachri. That's your approach. That's your idea. That's right. That's the very pshat in the Tanakhama. Digun digun elala rabos. To tell you that no. Came to tell you exactly this. Yeah. Our approach is from a whole different angle. The way we understood it was that Yeah, like a very, really, in a way, like a certain kind of, not complicated, you know, not, but abstract, an abstract question. Abstract halachic question. The question is, can someone create a chiyuv where there's no address for the chiyuv? In other words, what you're telling me is the guy is going to do meruach, and now this object is chayiv in hafrashas truma, trumas of maestras. But there's no gavra. In other words, you're telling me his action is creating a chayiv with no address, because he's certainly not chayiv to do it. And it's his crops. It's his stuff. So how do you tell me his digun creates a chiyuv that is addressing no one? And that's the very question. And that's why the Tanakhama, according to that idea, you can understand the Rashi's lashon. Because according to Reb Shimon Poter, why ain meruach over kochavim chayev betruma? Because there's no address. So how can you tell me I do an act that creates a chiyuv, and it doesn't even address anyone, let alone me? But what does the Tanakhama hold? No. You look at it from the inherent perspective of the Chafta. The Chafta is Ton Hafrashas Truma. And that's why Rashi wrote, Umeiruach of Kachavim Eino Poter Minat Truma. See, Rashi didn't want to write, is Chayiv, because Chayiv would mean there's an address. So Rashi instead wrote, Eino Poter Minat Truma. The object is still demands it, but it has no address. Until a Jew comes in the picture, there's no address. And that's the question. It's an abstract question. Can you have a chiyuv mitzad hachefza where there's no gavra? That's how we learned it. The Lashon of Rashi fits very nicely according to that definition. But I will admit... But let me just say one last thing. I will admit that our definition of the Machlokas, I mean, I would say the jury is still out until you learn more about Trumas and Maestros and Meruach to see if it holds up. But just based on the ideas presented here in Rashi, they do. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, Chaim wants to evoke Occam's razor to side with David. The only thing I would say is Occam is good, but the way we're explaining it explains Rashi's lashon perfectly. Occam's razor doesn't tell you to ignore facts. No, because Chayev would imply, the reason why Rashi stayed away, he was being in tune with that point. Because if he said Chayev, it would mean, Chayev always means there's a gavra. There's an address. That's what Chayev means. When you say there's a chiyev, there's an address. Rashi was careful. He didn't want to say that, because then you'd think that the guy is Chayev. Can't say that. He's not the address. He just said he's talking about it from the perspective of the Chefza. It's Eino Poter. In other words, the Chefza, in other words, it's Ein Kinyan La'akam. So the intrinsic object has a certain status. And the guy doing Meruach does not in any way remove that. So it brings it into the condition, I'll use the word now, chiyav. But that's why Rashi said, eino poter. Because he wanted to show that the status of the entity is unaffected by the fact that it's a guy doing it. But is there a specific address? No, there isn't. All right, so the Gemara says, whatever svara you're going to say, bottom line is, Reb Shimon says poter. Okay, he says poter. So that means you're back to the intuitive svara again. In other words, he's not shayach to the whole parsha of Truma. So what's Gamatem coming to teach you? It's not coming, you don't need it to remove a guy. So the Gemara says, Atem Gamatem Lamali Itztrich. Salka Daita Chamina Hoel for Omamar. Atem Velo Arisen. Atem Velo Shutfin. Atem Velo Apotropos. Atem Velo Hatorem Esheeno Shalo. So since you learn out from Atem, not a sharecropper, an Oris. Okay, and we're talking about where the Oris is not doing on his stuff. It means, of course, on the other guy, on the Balabayas' stuff. Shalom Edaito, of course. Okay? Correct? Yeah. So, and what else? Atem velo shutfin, a partner. And not even an apotropos, even though an apotropos, what? Manages the business affairs of the Yesomim, but he can't be Mafris Truma for him, for the cotton. Atem velo atorim esheena shalo. And atem, and not Truma that's not yours. Yeah, there's two ways, by the way, there's a Rashi in Gittin that says either that's telling you the reason for all of them, or it's telling zoo ain't sarach lomar zoo. Okay, it doesn't make a difference as far as the basic idea. So Ema Atem velo shluchachem. So maybe I will say Atem and not your and not a shliach nami. In other words, once I have all these atems, I'll say that would remove shlichus as well. Kamash malon. So atem, gam atem, is coming to tell you that shlichus works. So we just got to define, right, that the ema atem velo shluchachem nami. And the maskana of the pasuk, kamash malon, what is the Torah telling you? Right? That's what we have to define. And if we do that, we will be finished with the first kind of real movement of the Gemara on Shlichus. The next part of the Gemara takes it's still related to this Gemara, but it takes a different, a little bit of a different path. One second. Yeah, I lost my thing. You go. The reason why the Gemara it says Shalom Midaito is because it would be the very case of Shlichus itself. Midaito. Don't harp on Shalom Midaito. It had to be Shalom Midaito, or else would be Mamash. That would be the case of Shlichus. If the Oris is being Tore Midas Abalabayas, that's shlichus. So it can't be that case. Yeah, in other words, the Havamina was that all the Atem, the idea of Atem, is that you need the Gavra himself. Like you said, it's Atzmo, Gufo. That's what you would have thought. You had a right to conclude the idea of it's the din of Atem. Atem means exactly that. You. You have to do it. Torah has an interest in you doing the maisa yourself, begufa. Okay? Kamash malon, What's the positive kamash malon? The kamash malon is, no, shlucho shel adam kamoso will work. Why? Because in shlucho shel adam kamoso, it's true you don't need begufo, ba'atzmo, but it has to have a din that it's your, has to have a din maisa for you. It has to be defined as your maisa. It has a din maisa of the mishaleach, and that's sufficient. That's the gzeres hakasef. You might have thought by truma that it has to be a maisa begufo. Kamash malon, what do you require? It has to be a din maisa of the mishaleach, and shlucho shel adam shel kamoso does exactly that. When you mamana a shliach and he does something on your behalf, it's your maisa, even though it's not begufo ba'atzmo, but it's a din of your maisa, and that's sufficient. That's what the Torah is telling you. Okay, that's the straightforward idea.
Good.
Yeah, I thought you liked it. By the way, I would at this point, just the kids in school asked this question. I don't think we've raised it. I don't think anyone here has raised it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I forgot. But it sounds like a simple thing, but I think it's worthy of a definition. So they asked, if it's a din maisa, so then why doesn't it work by tefillin, by lulav, shofar, sukkah, etc. In other words, how do you make that dividing line? If you say shlucho shel adam kamoso is a din, it's a din maisa for the mishaleach, so when do you say it works and when do you say it doesn't work? I think it does demand a clear distinction, a clear idea. That's it. David's right. In other words, the answer is, the idea, shlichus works when you're looking to create a chalos in something else. When your maisa, its essence, is to create a certain effect, a certain affect, a certain kinyan, a certain chalos in an object. So that would, of course, be, take the cases, Kiddushin, Gerushin, Truma, Shechita. In all those cases, the essence of the act is the affect in the object. Not the Maisa Begufo is the essence. Whereas in these other mitzvos, it's not to create any kind of a chalos in an external object. The very idea is the maisa itself is, or the experience itself is the essence. That's begufo. That's ba'atzmo. That's the distinction.